Torch Trust, Sight Loss 101, in conversation with June Barnett.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Sight Loss 101, where I, Tim Jeffrey, have the chance to have a conversation with people who are blind or partially sighted in order to help me understand, as a sighted person, what's it like to live in your shoes. So today I have the joy of having June Barnett. And June, welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. And June, I understand that your sight loss has come later in life. Maybe you just tell us a little bit about your life story and how sight loss has featured in.
I'm now 86. I'll be 87 in 2 months' time. I wasn't aware of sight loss, but I was actually driving with my husband, and we were in Evesham, and just once or twice he said, "June, move over, move over. You're nearly clipping the cars." Anyway, I went to the optician and they diagnosed that I had AMD. I was 73 when it started. I then had injections. It was the wet AMD, and I had injections, 44 injections over many years, until eventually it became dry in recent years since I've been here. The biggest change in my life was that I was no longer able to drive. I think that was really the thing I noticed most of all. I gave up driving immediately because I felt I might be a danger to other people as well as to myself. Apart from that, I managed pretty well for quite a number of years. Certainly all the years when I was having my injections, I was really doing things as normally as possible. Then, of course, you know, there's a gradual deterioration. But what I found, I have had the great advantage of having wonderful gadgets to help me. And I think the main thing is to keep positive and keep on doing what I am able to do for as long as I'm able to do it. So with the help of gadgets, I still cook for myself. I bake. I knit. My knitting is I knit with string, and I just make dishcloths, which I just pass out for charity, or they go in the local shop and people put money in the charity box. As regards my faith, I found prayer is just so important in my life. I can no longer see to read the Bible, but I'm very blessed that I have Alexa, and I have the whole Bible on Alexa. So I can call up any part of the Bible I wish to listen to. During the last month, I have been listening to Exodus right through. I also get on Alexa, I get something called Daily Devotion. Do you know about all these things, Tim?
Yes, some of them, June. I mean, it's amazing what's coming. And did you know that Every Day with Jesus is also soon to be available through smart speakers like Alexa?
Yes, well, I just have something called a daily devotion.
Very good.
Which is the same sort of thing. It's a scripture reading and a commentary. I can also, I can listen to any hymns as long as I know the first line of the hymn. And so I'm really very, very fortunate. I have a lot of aids which really make life a whole lot easier.
And June, how much sight have you got now? Do you have any?
I have some. It's not good, I would think. I was starting to think about this I would think at the most I have about maybe 20%. Of course, I have no central vision. Okay. So I'm relying on the peripheral vision all the time.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm looking at the screen. I know there's movement on the screen, but I can't see you.
Yeah.
And yet out of the corner of my eye, quite a distance at the end of the room, there are people passing by my window.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking at them, but I'm picking them up.
Yeah.
Since I moved here after my husband died, so I've been here just over, well, I moved, I used to live in the Cotswolds. I lived in the Cotswolds for 37 years. And this was my second husband. And when he just dropped dead suddenly, well, it was a very tiny village. And there was one bus a week. And then, so I could get into Evesham, but then they stopped the bus. Well, of course, I couldn't drive. I had no transport. There was nothing in the village. And so I was relying on taxis. And this became incredibly expensive and also inconvenient. So I couldn't. So it just so happened that one time when Nigel came down, he said about this little house I have here now was up for sale and how about it? They had asked me to go and live with them. But with four children, I just didn't think that that was going to work at all because I was used to my own independence. So this house is just about 100 yards from where Nigel and his family live. So it's just amazing. He's very caring and loving and supportive in so many different ways. And so when I came here, talking about dealing with the sight loss, I had been there in the Cotswolds for 37 years. So I had left, I was in the United Reformed Church in Broadway, where I was church secretary. I was also an elder. I was on their pastoral visiting list, very much involved. I was also secretary of the interchurch committee that we had. There were four denominations in Broadway. There was Catholic, Anglican, Methodist, and the United Reformed Church. And we had monthly meetings. And we did amazing things together. And that worked very well. So suddenly I came here. And I was 78 years old. I'd been in and out of hospital with heart problems. And so suddenly I left friends and church family behind. And this was a huge thing for me. And so I made up my mind that I would walk around the village and I would say hello or good morning, pass the time of day with absolutely everybody. And something would come out of the bag. And so it did. So I have a small circle of friends and a great many acquaintances. But what I did to help myself, I used to say to introduce myself, and I said, my name is June. I cannot see you. So if I passed you by next time and haven't spoken, you must forgive me, it's because I can't see you. So what I would like you to do is to say, hello, June, it's David or Joyce or whatever. And then I know who I'm talking to. And so I think that was a very positive thing for me to do.
Yeah.
And this is lovely. I mean, I just stepped out the door this morning to go to the shop and somebody called out, hello, June. Good morning, June. It's Mark. And this is lovely.
That sounds.
So I don't know if that's something that other people have learned to do or not.
Yeah, that sounds like a good top tip, June, to be saying that to people so that they know. That's a really good idea. How do you get around in terms of, do you have a cane or?
Well, no, I just have a white stick.
Yeah.
I have to walk slowly because I have to be careful where I'm putting my feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do go for walks around the village. I know where I can go.
Very good.
Nigel no longer wants me to go wandering across the fields because he said if I tripped and fell, no. But it's amazing what you can do. Really what you can do, Tim, if you really try hard.
Yeah.
Of course, there are days when you can get quite low in spirits and everything just seems to get on top of you.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday morning, I had a bit of a weepy morning. That doesn't happen very often now, but I've got a very old cat who's causing me a lot of problems at the moment. So there are frustrations.
Mm.
But I play Scrabble. At the other end of this table is a Scrabble board, which I had from the RNIB.
Oh.
Up until lockdown, 15 months ago nearly, I used to go to a friend in her 90s and twice a week. So I was there for 4 hours a week. But of course, that stopped.
Mm.
She's now 96, so it's no longer a goer.
Mm.
And I can't really go around there like I used to and don't go around anymore. So I just play Scrabble on my own.
Wow.
You know, I just pick out the seven tiles and play and calculate and try to get as good a score as I can.
Very good.
The other thing is I rely heavily on audiobooks and on music.
Mm.
I listen to a lot of music.
Mm. And you do that through your Alexa smart speaker?
Yes. I think it's something like £3.95 and you get a million pieces of music to choose from.
Amazing.
So just depending on my mood.
Yeah.
I've got quite a wide range of musical interests. So just depending on how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want, you know, just quiet, relaxing things or jolly things or the singing voice, or you know. I listen to Classic FM a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what else can I tell you, Tim?
June, that's been absolutely fascinating. And so lovely to hear about the way that you've sort of come to terms with and embraced and then found ways to carry on despite.
Yes.
Has there been particular ways in which your faith has helped you on that journey?
Oh, very much so, Tim. Very much. Up until the lockdown, I had been attending the Baptist church in the village here. And funny enough, during the summer last year, we had services outside. There's a big bit of ground attached to the Baptist chapel. And we had 15 weeks of unbroken Sundays, and we were sitting outside, very much distanced, but we had the organ out there and we could sing in the pulpit, and that was wonderful. But of course, I haven't been doing that.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if I've actually been thinking that my church going days, I think, are probably going to be few in the future. But what I do listen to every Sunday morning at 8:10, I listen to the service on Radio 4, which is absolutely excellent.
Mm.
And then at different periods of time, like at Easter, there are services on BBC One on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And then the Songs of Praise as well. So spiritually, I feel that I am, you know, I'm very well supported. Also, the Baptist pastor, he calls every week. You know, knocks on the door just to make sure everything's all right.
Really? Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So really, you know, I have no complaints, really.
Mm. That's amazing to hear. And how have you come across Torch Trust?
How did I come across Torch Trust?
Yeah.
I came across Torch Trust through David Palmer.
Ah.
I heard about Torch. And so I don't know how I phoned up. And I spoke to David Palmer, and he was setting up, you know, these local groups all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, talking to him, he thought, oh, June's the person, she's the one to set up a group for Melton.
Yeah.
Well, but of course, he didn't know the difficulties at that point.
Mm.
But anyway, he came to see me, and then he found this other couple, I think, you know, Leslie and Michael Sargent,
mm-hmm.
are our team group leaders. And they've really been so supportive. You know, they phone once a month on our day, and they also call around. And that's how I got in touch with Torch. And then I went on Torch holidays. I went on the book week.
Very good.
I found was absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
And because James, that's where I met James Brookman.
I see.
And I always got on well with James. And then, of course, there was Sarah as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah did all sorts of things like Lenten studies and different discussion groups, which were really, really good.
Mm.
And they only lasted a certain few weeks. It wasn't ongoing all the time. Yes, I've been to book clubs three times, the book week. I used to go down in the minibus. And of course, we had something in common, because where James and Sarah Brookman live in Ashton-under-Hill was literally just across the fields from where I lived.
Oh, really?
So, we have quite a connection.
Oh,
and I think, and David Palmer still comes. He phones me. He's been here to see me about three times since he finished with Torch. I'm, very close to him and his wife as well.
Oh, that's lovely. June, that's really special. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. It's fascinating to hear, how about your journey and how you've adapted life, and it sounds to me like you remain incredibly positive, and it's a very beautiful thing to hear. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Well, I there's just one other little bit. I have another dimension to my life.
Yeah.
I did eventually go to university.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went to university to Warwick when I was 58.
Wow.
And I did a German degree. I have an honours German degree.
Good to you. Wow.
And that was, you really need to know this little bit, because this is quite important.
Mm.
When I finished, I came to this, I always wanted to learn German as well as French. In our church in Broadway, we appointed a minister from Germany.
Mm.
This was part of an ongoing reconciliation thing.
Mm.
Well, of course, I was an elder, but I was soon made church secretary to him. His name was Martin Henninger. And I have been his pastoral carer, and he is mine ever since those days.
Mm.
But his wife was a teacher of German.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had this link with all the churches, we were always looking for things that we could do together.
Mm-hmm.
And the suggestion was that we could all go to Oberammergau.
Oh, lovely.
I've never been to Oberammergau.
Yeah.
Have you been?
I've not been, no, but I'd love to. It sounds like an amazing experience.
If you never went to any theatre again in your life, that would be sufficient.
That's the one.
So we were going to go in 1990.
Mm.
Well, his wife's name was called Reintracht. She was a teacher of German. So she said, it's all in German, so we need a German class. So the people gathered, and aging from 18 to 80. And I don't, do you know German at all?
Ein bisschen, but not much.
Anyway, we were starting off with Ich heiße.
Yeah.
Well, it got, it was really people struggling. And this went on for about 3 weeks. And I said to Reintat, please excuse me, but I won't be coming anymore. But of course she knew me. And she said, oh yes. I said, she said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. She said, oh, but there is. She said, we're not going fast enough for you, are we? So she said, I suggest, I got a book here, and you come to the manse every 10 days and we will have an evening session. So this was in the year of the autumn of 1989. I went, we got to Christmas, and Reintat said, June, you've got to do the O-level. I said, it's a very long time since I left school, Reintat. She said, yes, but you've got to do this. So I said, well, where do I do it? So she phoned in January and said, if you've got a check for £24, because I could drive them, get yourself to Stratford on Avon College of FE. It's the last day, it's the closing day for the exam entry. So I went there and saw this wonderful lady, the examination officer, and I said, do you have a syllabus or something? So she gave me a syllabus, and Tim, if I tell you I knew nothing, I knew nothing. And so it was a case of head down, and I had 5 months.
Wow.
And 5 months, and then I had to go there for the exam. And please, I always have to say this, because please do not think me arrogant. It's just I've inherited a gift for languages from my father.
Wow.
And when I came out of the exam, I thought it was so easy. And I couldn't understand why children took 5 years to do this. And I went to the cloakroom, and she followed me in there. And she said, Mrs. Barnett, I know I'm not supposed to say, but you've handed in a perfect paper. I said, but I can't believe how easy it was. And so, of course, the next thing was A-level.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the people in the church, again, this is church. All this comes from the church. I have to stress this.
Mm.
And the people in church say, oh, June, you will do the A-level. I said, goodness, can I have a rest? No, you've got to do the A-level. So it was arranged. I had to go all the way to Bromsgrove, over a 60-mile round trip. So I did the A-level at Bromsgrove College of FE. I went just twice a week. And then I did the A-level. And then my son started. This is Nigel, who's a wonderful, wonderful person. And he says, Mum, you know this degree has been in you screaming to get out all your life. You've got to go for it. I said, I can't at this age. And he said, yes, you can. He said, you could go to Birmingham. I said, I'm not going to Birmingham every day because it was a long way. So I went to an open day at Warwick.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there with all the parents and children. And they all got up and went. And this professor said to me, are you here on behalf of your child? I said, no, I'm here on behalf of me. And he said, you know, were you wanting to join? I said, I got my Scottish Higher Leaving Certificate in 1950. I was only 15 years old. Gosh. All the others in my class were 17. I was 15. So it was very, very young. I had higher French. And it's a very different system in Scotland.
Mm, yeah.
It's like A-levels and they're joined together.
Mm.
And I said, it's a long time ago. And they said, well, you know, if you get your A-level German, we will accept to C, and you come and join us. And to my horror, and again, forgive me, I said, I'm sorry, but if I got a C, I wouldn't dream of coming.
So did you get?
So the result was, well, in fact, I got A's across the board except B for the audio, because this was a discipline I wasn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was difficult for me. So anyway, I went, and they said, well, you know, just give it a go for a year. But anyway, I came out with a 2-1 honours.
Very good.
And then in my year out, you know, you have a year out if you're doing a language.
Yeah.
You have to go to the country. Well, by this time, I'm 61. I wasn't wanting to do it. So through Martin Henninger, he got me a placement with a woman who was the dean in the Palatinate Church. And the Warwick agreed they would accept 3 months. But I must know that this would affect my final degree.
Yes.
Well, so I did 7 weeks in the autumn, left my husband. I could not have done this without a wonderful husband.
Wow.
I did 7 weeks in the autumn and 7 weeks in the following spring.
Mm.
But during that time, I was I was a speaker at the Women's World Day of Prayer, which was 400 women there.
Oh, were you?
And it was all reported in the Sunday paper and everything.
Yeah.
I was speaking German and church speak, Tim.
Mm.
Church speaking, like in any language.
Yeah.
You know, you've got normal conversation, but then you have specialist language.
Yeah.
And so I had to swat up on this like mad.
Mm.
And I set up pastoral care things there. I had to take services even.
Really?
And it was the most wonderful, wonderful. It was all God-led, absolutely.
Mm.
And I just kept on praying and saying, God, you have brought me here. I picked up the ball. I'm running with it. And I'm having the time of my life. And it was absolutely wonderful, Tim.
Oh, thank you so much.
And so now I'm still in touch. So when I'd finished, the West Midlands Diocese appointed me European Links Coordinator, setting up partnerships in churches in Germany, in what was formerly East Germany, because they were just emerging.
Yeah.
And so my work was in the former East Germany, where nobody spoke English, because
mm-hmm.
they'd had to learn Russian only.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody here of the groups I took knew any German. So I did that till I was 67.
Yeah.
And that's my spiritual journey, Tim.
Yeah.
And you needed to know that because you were asking a lot about faith.
Yeah.
And so I've had an amazing journey.
You have, Jean. Bless you. Well, thank you for sharing it with me. It's been a delight to hear you and get to know you a little. And thank you on behalf of myself and anybody who listens to this for sharing with us. Bless you.
Thank you for joining us on Sight Loss 101. For more information on Torch, call 01858 438 260.